I'd like to greet you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be together to worship our Lord and Savior, our King. I would like to take this opportunity to thank you as a church for what you've been doing for our son and just accepting him. And I think we as his parents are, now that we've been here, we're able to even rest a little more than what we had been. As parents, you hope that your children, that you've taught them in a way that they can make decisions that will be pleasing to God, but it's also nice to come along and see that that's what they have been doing. And I just want to thank you as a church for what you have done and what you will continue to do, I trust, as you continue to serve God here. And just the little bit that I've been hearing about your congregation and the things that you're involved in is... It's good to hear that there are people that care about those that are suffering around them, whether it's physically, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, whatever it is, you're reaching out to the people around you has an effect for the kingdom of God, and I just want to encourage you to keep doing that. And in fact, that's what I would like to. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 5 that I would like to look at. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. I'll read it in a different version. It says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill." In both Testaments, the Old and the New, I believe, the words for righteousness and justice are very closely related. They're tied together. You can't have justice without righteousness. You can't have righteousness without justice. And it seems to me often when I read this verse and someone is talking about it, they might give you the idea that it's like when you get up in the morning, you sit out on the sun porch, you drink your coffee. You read the Word of God, which is very important, and you're filled. You're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But I would like to look at this a little differently. I believe it's so much, much more than that. In Psalm 82, the first four verses, it reads this way: "God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wickedness?" And then he says this: "Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needed. Deliver the poor and needy, free them from the hand of the wicked." What does it mean for God to judge righteously and do justice? It means that God sees the poor, he sees where they are, and he knows it's not right, and he does something about it. It's an action word. Actively working, physically working in the world. It's the spiritual power of heaven come to earth through your actions when you see those that are being unjustly oppressed and you do something about it, whether it's giving them money, whether it's I don't know, whatever you're doing with them. When you see it and that the compassion in your heart compels you to act, that's righteousness. And it's, Jesus says, blessed are those that hunger after that kind of action. He says, you're going to have your fill. If you start looking for injustice in the world around you, you will have your fill. You will find many, many, many places where there is injustice. Have you ever wondered why so often it tells us in the Gospels that the gospel is good news to the poor? I don't know that it ever says that it's good news to the rich, but it's good news to the poor. Why is it good news to the poor? Why do you think the poor are oppressed? The gospel is good news to them. I believe that in each person there lies a sense of fairness. What do I mean? Even a little child can be playing and his or her friend comes and takes a toy away. And they know that's not right. It's not fair. They took my toy away. It starts at a little age. And I think it's in each of us as we grow, and we can either suppress or we can train, I believe, that sense that of right and wrong, fairness and unfairness. And I think as children of God and followers of Jesus, we should pattern our lives after Jesus. Jesus saw many places where there was injustice. In fact, there were people that came to him. Think of how often there were people brought to Jesus, and those that were in authority were angry, or they were judging a person. What did Jesus do? Jesus stepped in, and somehow, I don't know how he did it every time, but he took that, whatever was happening. Think of the woman at the temple that was brought to Jesus. They said that she was found in adultery. What did Jesus do? Well, at the end of the story, those leaders might be angry, but who are they angry at? It's Jesus, not the woman. And I think that sometimes as children of God, when we step into situations where we see injustice, people will still be angry, but they won't be angry necessarily so much at the oppressed. They will be angry at you for doing what's right, because they know that it's right, what you have just done. And it makes them angry. And picking up your phone and tweeting about the injustice that you see is not necessarily a good idea. Why? Here's why. Because the action of doing that is, how would you say, often it stops with that. We stop with that. So we see injustice and we write about it and we do nothing. Don't get angry. Do something. Anger doesn't, the wrath of man doesn't bring the righteousness of God. Do something. And it can be very simple. Living in a country that's at war, there's much injustice that we see. And especially our young people are faced with that almost every week when they go to the front and they go into hot areas and they see injustice. And they're actively doing something about it. But there's also, there's a flip side to that. How can we stop injustice? How can we stop oppression without becoming an oppressor? How do you stop that without becoming that? What does the world need? The world needs one more big bully with a big stick, right? To stop this. Who's gonna write the rules for the bully? Political groups, politics will not stop injustice. It just, I think, makes more. It's people who follow the king, the prince of peace, who do what he says that you should do. It is that that brings peace. It is that that stops the oppression. You may, as the carrier of that peace, as a stopper, if you want to say, of that oppression, you will probably, most likely, be oppressed. But it's okay. We follow a king who has done it, and he continues to do it, and he will do it. There is coming a time where there will be no more war, and for that, we are grateful. And he showed us how to overcome evil, and sometimes it's by stepping into those places where the evil is being done, and it happens to us instead. That's what happened to Jesus. Are you willing to be that kind of a bringer of peace? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It's not just sitting and reading your Bible and praying. That's very important. It's so much more. It's actively doing something. When you see injustice, do what you can. And when we start reading the newspaper, when we start reading articles, it's overwhelming because we can't stop at all. But do for one person what you would like to have done for everyone. Just one person. That's where it starts. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your great love to us. Thank you for Jesus, who was willing to give of himself that we could have life. Thank you for the new life. that we can have in Jesus. Thank you for the new creation that we can be part of. And we thank you, Father, for the desire to become more like Jesus. We just pray that you would continue to give us that desire. Bless the congregation here in a very special way as they continue to follow you. Be with the leaders here as they direct and as they pastor and shepherd your flock here. And I just pray that you could be glorified, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we pray for peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you for that reminder, DJ. All right, I think we'll dismiss the teachers that teach in the basement. Children can follow. The adult Sunday school class this morning is going to be Mark 12, 35 to verse 44. And next week is Mark 13, verse 1 through 13. For you visitors, the ladies' classes are off to my left. There's two men's classes here, one behind this auditorium, and there's two downstairs. So you're dismissed to your classes.